Church, it's so good to be here this morning with you. We are in the midst of a series called What Jesus Did, because we ask that question as followers and disciples of Jesus, that we are supposed to talk like, act like, look like, be like Jesus. And so what does that mean for us? As disciples and apprentices of Jesus, what does it mean? What do we look at what Jesus did? And then how do we pattern our lives after that? Because as disciples of Jesus, there's a rhythm of our lives that takes up our discipleship, our apprentices, and it's in these three categories. It's to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to do what Jesus did. And so this morning, as we talk about becoming not only more like Jesus, but doing actually what Jesus did, we're talking about this, the topic of deliverance. What does it look like to be delivered? And one of the things that I think was really powerful that happened in our world is that in a little small living room in 1935 in Akron, Ohio, two men got together named Bill and Bob. And that was their actual names. I'm not making those names up. Bill and Bob. And they had both been people that they were getting together because one wanted to understand how to be delivered from an addiction. And the other one just wanted to figure out how to. That they were both living in depths of addiction, and they had tried willpower, they had tried different types of religions, they tried medicine, they tried resolutions, and nothing had come to fruition. They found themselves lost. And it wasn't until Bill, at the end of his rope, surrendered himself to what he called and what we know as God, as to a higher power. And as he went to his friend Bob and said, a revelation has happened. It's when I surrendered and stopped that I found freedom. And in sharing this power of this surrender and this deliverance, that Bob became free. And it was from that moment, from that little living room in Akron, Ohio, where a spark started, a movement called Alcoholics Anonymous. And from then, it was not a program that sought out perfection from addiction, but a fellowship of people who believed that deliverance through surrender was the way that they could bring themselves out of a great power of bondage. See, this is the same thing. This is the heart of the kingdom of God. That he has come to deliver us from evil. He's come to deliver us from bondage, to set us free. This is the heart of the kingdom. And that as Jesus delivers us, we are called then to participate in his deliverance of others. That you and I and that we and have found and are continuing to find deliverance in this day and age from our addiction, from the things that bond us. That he sets us free, not from just something, but to join him into bringing this deliverance to the world around us. And so this morning, the big idea that we want to talk about this morning is that our deliverance, that those who are delivered become deliverers of freedom. That you and I, if we have been delivered, that we partake in this deliverance and to become deliverers of freedom for those who are still stuck. And so if you will turn with me into our Bibles, Ephesians chapter 6, we're starting in verse 10 of chapter 6. And so if you have your Bible in front of you, whether that's physical or digital, I always encourage you to have it as we will continue to look at there and other verses. And so this is what it says. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, that you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kind of prayers and requests. As we would join in prayer, would we take a moment to collectively prepare our hearts, that we call this the practice of communal silent prayer, so we pray together as one body. Holy Spirit, would you give us the eyes to see you? Would you give us the ears to hear your small voice? God, would you give us hearts willing to accept your love, your grace, and your deliverance? And Holy Spirit, would you give us a mind to receive the knowledge that we need from you? We ask this in your name. Amen. One of the things that you see right away in that text is we often get to the full armor of God because it takes up the most of the text. But right at the beginning, it talks about our struggle is not against this world. It is against things we can't see. And so as people who are those who are delivered, we must live aware. You must be aware that there's something happening beyond what you can see. That you cannot be free from what you cannot acknowledge. As disciples of Jesus and those who are in AA, if you don't start with acknowledging what is happening, not only beyond your willpower, but things that you can't see, that is the beginning of those delivered. To be aware that for us as disciples of Jesus, that there is a spiritualness to this world that we cannot see. There is a physical world that we exist in all the time. And yet there's a spiritual reality that Jesus marks out for his disciples. And Paul acknowledges this, that we as people who are going to put on this full armor of God that God has given us, but he starts with this idea that we are not ready to admit to yet. Or maybe from our lives that we have just feel like there's something wrong with it, but for us as disciples of Jesus to really admit and acknowledge that it's not just of how good you are or how bad you are, that how you give into bondage or how you live as delivered people is not just up to you, but it is an engagement of a whole spiritual level that we might not be aware of. And I think it's really important what only Luis said this morning, but also Jesus taught his disciples. In the prayer that he taught them to pray, he said, "Lead them not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Why would the Lord give this as a way of teaching for his disciples not just to pray once, but to pray continually throughout the day and throughout all of their existence, to not only lead them into temptation, lead them out of temptation, but deliver us from the evil one? A reality for them to say and to acknowledge that there is an evil one that is trying to kill, steal, and destroy. And to not acknowledge it is to not acknowledge the things that are happening right around you. So for some of us, we just kind of sit in two camps. That we get into this place where we've maybe been in an experience of over-spiritualization of this. Right? That everything is the Spirit. Like, I found the first parking spot in the parking lot because that was the Lord. Right? And you're like, excuse me, what? I get all of this goodness because the Lord loves me? Or bad things are happening. Like, I trip because I'm looking at my phone and like, oh, the devil. Get your face out of your phone. Like really, like all these things like happen. You're like, oh no, this is over-spiritualized. And for some of us, that is the existence why the reason why we don't acknowledge is because everything has been over-spiritualized. But I think for some of us, we came into the other side of the camp where we under-spiritualize things. That you are so in control of what happens in your life that the only thing you need Jesus for is salvation and is entering into heaven. Like that's all you need. And that Jesus then leaves you alone to live your life and everything that you do is a direct correlation to how good or bad you are. Or how much willpower you have or don't have. When Girl Scout season come up, do you eat the whole package of Thin Mints? Or are you good? Or like me, I don't like some Thin Mints, but am I able to just like put a pint of ice cream away after eating a little bit instead of putting the whole thing in? The underemphasized would just be like, oh, that's just you, Austin. Just be better. But gluttony is a real thing. And this is also where we talk about acknowledging what and being aware of the forces and powers and the principalities. Because as disciples of Jesus, We are learning in our everyday life to discern the voices that roam in our head, to understand and recognize your own voice, then to learn and to respond to the voice of the Holy Spirit, but then also to recognize and to push away and to cast aside the voice of the evil one. To acknowledge that in your head three voices are happening, and to distinguish rightly is a part of acknowledging and being aware of living in freedom, delivered from bondage, is to continue to discern the voice of the Holy Spirit, the voice of the evil one, and the voice that happens within you. But as you are delivered, you have to understand this, that freedom isn't real if you keep your chains. Like, how many of us, and I love this about AA, is that as you live further into your sobriety, you get these coins, these tokens that are given to you to mark your markers of your sobriety. 24 hours, a week, a month, 3 months, 6 months. And what it is not a chain which to remind them of the past and what they used to live in and to bring back shame. What it is to remind them that there is freedom and to not take up the chains and rebond themselves to the slave of their addiction. This is what suffering happens so much to us, that deliverance isn't about sinning less. It's about transforming freedom. And so the question is, what is your chain? What is your sin? What is your addiction? What is the thing in your life that the Lord has set you free, but because maybe the shame is so strong, or maybe you haven't discerned the voices, that you continue to carry the chains around because you need them as a sign, or you're afraid of that you will be so easily pulled back. Maybe sometimes there's security. But the thing that Jesus talks about is when he frees people from their addiction, from their ailments, that you see in Scripture that Jesus doesn't ask them to pick up their mat as a reminding of the paralytic nature of their body, but was picking up their mat was a reminder that they are free. How many of us are willing to carry around the chains because there's some guilt in us, or we don't believe that we are fully free? Our Scripture speaks so clearly to this. That is by freedom of that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. And if the Son sets you free, then you are free indeed. Think about those two places, that Jesus is talking about freedom, and yet in the same time, he understands our nature, understands our willingness to put back on bondage and slavery. Because it's something we were known. His people, when they came out of Egypt, were so quick to say, hey, we liked it better in Egypt. Yes, it was oppressive. Yes, it was bonded. Yes, it wasn't as great as it could be, but it was better than what we have right now. That he knows that in us, that we have this nature when it's in us to go back. But the difference is that when Jesus frees, he fills you. This freedom that he gives you is not something that is a one-time offer that fills your cup and I hope it lasts the rest of your life. But as you continue to walk in day and day out, you walk not in your own power and your own will of power, but you walk in the Spirit. You walk in the power of the Spirit of the most living and high God. That it is not about your ability, but about his power and his sacrifice. It is not how much willpower you create or how much you beat your body into submission. It is about living by the power of the Holy Spirit within you that is greater than anything that you can muster up. When you come to the end of yourself, it is just the middle of the work of the Holy Spirit. And this is what happens when we get to the end of ourselves. And whether we acknowledge or don't acknowledge that the evil one is consistently trying to kill, steal, and destroy, is that when we get to the end of ourselves, and instead of relying on the Holy Spirit, we rely on ourselves, then we listen to the voice that often tempts us and calls us back sweetly to say, hey, that life was better than what you have right now. You feel destitute, you feel lost, you feel alone, you feel like you can't make it another step. Come back, at least you will feel something. But this is why the power of the Holy Spirit in deliverance is so important. That you no longer, through the power of the Holy Spirit, have to feel like you're looking over your shoulder at what you're doing or not doing. That this is the part of deliverance, this is the part of the shame that we live with so often, that I think we also need to free ourselves from the change, is that Jesus isn't looking over your shoulder. He hasn't sent the Holy Spirit to look over your shoulder to make sure you're doing what is right. This is the lie of the evil one, to say God is just making sure that you're doing what is right and not what is wrong. That your deliverance is subject to how well you behave. But instead, the Holy Spirit is there to be with you, to minister to you in the midst of the voice that is attacking, that is tempting you, that is trying to bring you back into a life that you were never meant to be a part of. But deliverance, so much is a posture of surrender. It is antithetical to the narrative and to what the world is calling you to be stronger, to be wiser. To know a little bit more, that knowledge is power. But where you come to the end of the knowledge, where do you go? For so many people will go back into ancient knowledge. Or so many people will come back into the newness of what could possibly be the next trend, the next thing. Deliverance is about this posture of surrender that we take. Think about it in your own life, and as I think about it in my own life, when there's places where we've come to acknowledge that our life with Jesus is something we want more than anything else. And when we come to that place of acknowledgement and surrender, the battle between how we want to live and the battle of the life of what we could possibly, or the lies of the enemy of what you are missing out, or the experiences that you're missing out because you're living a life of righteousness, a life of surrender to the Holy Spirit. We say, I want to live this way. And so much happens in this place where not only, I hate to say this, you know, because some people might like have used this in terms of shame or turn weaponized, but I want to say that the moment that you become closer and closer, wanting to be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and begin to do what Jesus did, the more the amplification of the temptation that you left to return to. I think about it in my own life. In the places where I'm a young man wanting to live a righteous life and wanting to be in a relationship with one person. And as I walk and I live in this married life, the temptation comes from people that I have been around and worked with to say, hey, I know you're married, but if you ever wanted to, I'd be up for it. That I want to live a life that is honoring, that is not bound to lust. And yet it is always available to me. Not because I seek it out, but because the temptation there to destroy what God has put together is so powerful. And so it's not about me just being so good as in putting up blocks on my screen time to choosing who I meet with and who I don't meet with. It is a process of surrender, saying, Lord, that this is going to continually be, as I live in the world, I understand that this is going to be a battle that I face. And I choose to do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to choose to live a righteous life, not because I can, but because I can't. But I remind myself that every day I walk with the Spirit. And there's this powerful release, this freedom that happens as we live as deliverers, as we live as people that are delivered, that we have to become people that free others. That freedom has to be our calling. That if the Lord has set you free, then you are free indeed to take that freedom to others. To take the reality, and the truth is that you don't have to be in bondage anymore. You don't have to be a slave to the sin, that you can be free. This is the good news of Jesus Christ, that we are living examples, that He has set us free so that we are no longer captive to sin and to shame and to guilt and to torment, that we are free. And the message of freedom is so needed in our community today. That you are not alone. That you are not only as strong as you believe you are. That there is power that is beyond you. That you can live fully into. That will keep you from shame and guilt. And we become people who love to be with Jesus to understand the deep freedom that He brings. That we become people that are free because we understand that we are liberated. And yet we live in that, those two rhythms of freeing ourselves and being free and rejecting the freedom of others. And hoping and praying they find theirs. We've forgotten that we are emissaries of Jesus Christ, who don't just collect it for ourselves, that we are not collectors, but we are deliverers, that we bring the freedom that we have to other people. That though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does, Scripture says. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world, but on the contrary, they are divine power to demolish strongholds. Do you understand that you have been delivered and you carry with you spiritual power, divine power to help participate what Jesus is already asking people to rid themselves of, that you partner with the living God in day-to-day work with people to deliver themselves as they surrender to Jesus. That you take with you divine power that has been put in you, not because you are worthy of it, but because Jesus loves you so much that He doesn't want to see you bound to sin. He doesn't want to see you in a fallen temptation. And yet, we hold that to ourselves. That might be the great sin of the church today. That we have such good news. And we live in such good news. And yet so often we keep it to ourselves. How many people do you know right now that are living in bondage, living in sin, living in addiction, and they don't know where to do, they don't know where to go, they don't know what to do, and you are their friend, you are the person that God has put in proximity to them, and you're like, how's today going? I'm praying for you. No, like I'm not minimizing prayer, like in here, I'm going to talk about it, like we need to pray. But if that is all that you are offering them is prayer, you're hoping that the voice of the evil one is not greater than the voice of the Holy Spirit. And you might as well take that and go to the casino and gamble on people's spiritual lives. Think about the person closest to you. Would I want to do that to my family members? To gamble their spiritual life, their spiritual deliverance on hoping that they can listen and have learned to listen to the Holy Spirit, and that the temptation's not too great, and I hope and I pray, but I do nothing about it. I've witnessed and I've walked alongside of too many people that are in bondage and in addictions and enslavement, who I am praying for, who the church is praying for, but never gives a word of hope, encouragement, that something is possible on the other side of the bondage. As followers of Jesus, we have armor that we are asked to put on. We have the belt of truth, the sword of the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, that we have truth, that people don't have to suffer any longer, that there is freedom through Jesus Christ. That we believe in the power of prayer, that as we are preaching truth into them, and as we move our presence out of in front of them, we ask and say, Holy Spirit, as we leave, will you stay? Will you do what you can do, what I can't do? My words are finite and fleeting, but your words are eternal, and they have fullness of life. Do I bring a word of encouragement in every time I meet them, and asking them, how are you doing? Have you found the freedom? Keep going. Take another step. Breathe another breath. I know it's hard. I know you want to escape and you want to leave, but trust me, there's freedom. You are not alone. I'll walk with you. Let's go. Let's take another day. Let's try again, even though we failed. To share the encouragement of how you have been brought out of and delivered out of strongholds. And you witness, you carry your mat, you take your coin of saying, this is my witness that I have been made free. And so can you. If I can carry my mat, so can you. It is no longer carried in shame, but as a testimony to the power of Jesus Christ, who has set me free and can set you free. How do you do that? Surrender. And walk in community. Beloved friends, to do what Jesus did, you have the power that you take with. You have the divine, living, Holy Spirit who was at the beginning of all creation. Everything you see was breathed by Him. That same power dwells in you, and we walk in places of bondage and we're like, I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you? And we don't mourn and weep. We forget that we have been let go. We have been freed. And we don't understand the profound privilege and the joy that it is to watch somebody else be free from bondage, from addiction, from strongholds, from sin. You want to know the joy of partnering with Jesus and seeing the kingdom come here today? Go and partner in the deliverance and freedom as you have been set free. And tell me you don't come back weeping, crying tears of joy because your brother or sister, your child, your coworker, your neighbor has been set free. And you finally, and we finally as a church realize that we've put in proximity. Not to hope that we can just eke out and ooze out stuff that they will latch onto. But we breathe on them. The power of the Holy Spirit. As we bring them to Jesus. And bring them to the one who is the deliverer. Would you join me in prayer? Holy Spirit. I just pray right now that your voice would drown out all the other voices right now. Drown out my voice. Drown out the temptation of the evil one so that I might hear you, that we might hear you. Holy Spirit, what are you saying? Who and what do we need to be delivered from? Who and what, Holy Spirit, are you calling us to share the good news of freedom and deliverance? Holy Spirit, bring these things and these people to our mind right now. Father, I don't know why, but I pray for our students. I pray for these young generation who are not only witnesses of deliverance, but they're also witnesses of bondage. God, that some of them might be in bondage as well themselves. Going through the freedom and captive, and this cycle that seems endless. Holy Spirit, would you show up and remind them that you love them? May they give up and surrender to you. But God, I also pray for those students and young people who have been set free. May they hear the agony and the call of their peers who are in bondage, who are experiencing strongholds that are closing in over them. You called us to be the salt and the light. My prayer is that these students, these young people, would walk into their schools, walk into their friends' homes, into the cars, and that a radiance would happen. Where darkness would flee. That the joy of your salvation might be known to them. Holy Spirit, you can move mountains. Move them, we ask. Amen.